Earthquake researchers are eager to dig into a trove of new data about the offshore Cascadia fault zone. When Cascadia ruptures, we get the megaquake known as the Big One. The valuable new imaging of the geology off the Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia coasts comes from a specialized research ship. Correspondent Tom Bonsi greeted the ship's crew when they came ashore.
35 feet.
The National Science Foundation seismic survey ship Marcus Langseth zigged and zagged over the full length of the undersea Cascadia subduction zone from the Oregon-California border north to Vancouver Island. The research team spent nearly 6 weeks at sea before coming ashore in Seattle.
We are very pleased to get off the ship and get to test out our land legs now, having been, you know, rocking for 41 days.
Chief Scientist Suzanne Carbot is a geophysicist from Columbia University. She says the primary goal was to produce a much sharper picture of the undersea fault zone. Many scientists, including her, suspect two colliding plates are stuck or locked together, building up tension that will be released sooner or later in a catastrophic earthquake.
For this expedition, we were using modern technology that is vastly superior in terms of what people can learn over the data that had been acquired before it. The imaging of the subduction zone that we're going to get here is really going to be in a different class than what we have.
The expedition used sound to probe miles under the seafloor. A set of underwater compressed air guns directed booming acoustic pulses at the seabed. Sounds kind of like this.
From our sound source, goes to the seafloor, and then penetrates through because it's got a lot of low frequencies in it, and it then reflects, bounces off horizons in the subsurface, very similar to a CAT scan.
The reflected echoes were picked up by receivers on land, on the seafloor, and on a 12-kilometer-long cable towed behind the research vessel. The lead scientists on the cruise say they deployed lookouts and an advanced scout ship to make sure no whales or dolphins were nearby when they were making their underwater racket. Brian Boston is with Columbia University as well.
Anytime that it has become a problem that we might hurt or damage a whale, we immediately shut down the experiment. It was very much about protecting these species out at sea and not trying to bother them.
Boston says shutdowns happened infrequently, less often than he thought they would, mainly from encounters with humpback whales. One of the many researchers excited to dig into the terabytes of data gathered from the seismic survey is University of Washington professor and Pacific Northwest Seismic Network director Harold Tobin. Tobin came down to greet the returning ship. He says the much improved imaging of the Cascadia fault zone won't tell us when the next big one will strike.
Well, it's not so much that it's going to help us, you know, predict the timing directly. What it's going to do is create that understanding of and sort of baseline for what the fault is actually like, and then how changes in some property we can measure, like the speed of sound waves through the ground, if that changes over time, that could tell us new things about how the fault is changing its stress.
Tobin expects lots of other insights to emerge. For example, we could get a much better idea to what degree the 700-mile-long offshore fault is segmented into shorter chunks with different properties.
The reason that's important is because that could make the difference between one magnitude 9 that rips the whole thing open, right, or breaks the whole fault, or a series of smaller earthquakes, still maybe magnitude 8 scale earthquakes, but that would have very different implications for, let's say, tsunami hazard.
Tobin says to expect the first research findings based on the freshly gathered data to come out next year and continue for years to come. I'm Tom Bonsi in Seattle.